The World Cup continues in Russia, and we have a result from this morning. It was a tight one for Brazil. They got past Costa Rica 2-0, scoring twice in second half stoppage time. Peter Galindo is a soccer reporter for Sportsnet.ca. He joins us in studio here to talk some World Cup. Hey, Peter, thanks for doing this, pal.
Hey, George, thanks for having me on.
No, thanks for jumping in. This match with Brazil and heading into this tournament, all I kept hearing was, you know what, this is a different Brazil side. They're very organized. They looked a little disjointed against Costa Rica to me. And I know that Costa Rica was kind of trying to park the bus here, get the result to keep their tournament alive. But what are your thoughts through two games of Brazil playing that draw with Switzerland and now eking out a win against Costa Rica? Do they still look like one of the favorites in this tournament to you?
I mean, every favorite has started slow, as everybody has seen. This has very much been a World Cup of surprises, maybe a little more conservatism. Brazil looked better today, no question about it, at least taking more impetus. They favored both flanks this time, whereas they were really sort of favoring the left side against Switzerland. But in general, I still think Neymar does not look completely fit. That foot issue that he had, it's something that Manuel Neuer dealt with for the past year. It's a very difficult injury to overcome completely. The fact that there's so many expectations for him, I think it rushed him back. Plus, he obviously wants to, you know, avenge Brazil's 7-1 defeat against Germany as well. Once Douglas Costa came in the game in the second half, Roberto Firmino came in, you saw there was a little more creativity in the final third. I imagine Douglas Costa now will probably be a favorite to start on the right side. And if that's the case, I think you might start seeing a more dynamic Brazil and a more complete Brazil.
You know, yesterday I rushed home. I wanted to see the Argentina-Croatia game. Argentina played like hot garbage. I was out in the sun. I actually fell asleep, got a sunburn. I woke up and Messi wasn't even allowed one shot, which was crazy. But Croatia was outstanding.
Absolutely. Yeah. Luka Modric, Ivan Rakitic, Marcelo Brozovic, they control that midfield. Everybody's going to focus on Argentina, rightfully so. Right. They were terrible, let's be honest. But they completely controlled that game. And they are the key for Croatia if they want to make a run. They were breaking up oncoming attacks. They were flowing forward nicely. They maybe didn't get as many touches on the ball as, say, Mascherano did or any of the Argentina attackers. But they were more incisive and more quick with their decision-making. And I think it was very fitting that Rakitic and Modric scored the last two goals because they, for me, were the men of the match in that game. And yeah, Croatia, they're looking fantastic. And I wouldn't rule them out as being a contender for the World Cup at this point.
Peter, we know that a lot of people, the Messi-Ronaldo argument, it just keeps going on and on, like the LeBron and the Michael Jordan argument. But I think this World Cup has maybe put this argument once and for all to bed. Ronaldo's going to, he has the most goals in European World Cup goals in the history in 150 years. He's led them to a European championship. And I know Messi got the Argentina, the World Cup final 4 years ago, but there's still a ton of talent on this Argentinian side. They looked disjointed yesterday as well. If you look squad for squad, a lot more talent in Argentina than in Portugal, and it's all about Ronaldo on that side as well. I'm just tired of like hearing all these excuses for Messi and internationally with Argentina. Eventually, you have to get it done on the big stage, and he has been a non-factor in this tournament, especially missing a key penalty against Iceland that potentially could be their undoing in this tournament now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think nobody is blameless for this. It goes from the Argentinian Federation all right. The way down to Messi. I mean, was he completely at fault? Absolutely not. But
no.
I mean, in fairness, there were opportunities for him to have a shot. It didn't take it. I wonder if maybe he's thinking, my God, the burden's on me. I got to do everything now. This team isn't built for me. You know, the coach doesn't seem to be confident in the other players. Everything is now on me. And if you just listened or read any of the stories coming out of Argentina, they are ripping into Messi. And I think that's always the case with the superstar. When things go wrong, he's ripped apart. When things go well, he's the only one who gets credit. So it's kind of both ways. But no doubt about it, Argentina's just, they're really disjointed. They've got so many issues there. I mean, I can't really go into it because, you know, we could honestly do this whole show talking about Argentina. But just in general, they've got to shake things up for that final game against Nigeria. Otherwise, they are going home.
So saying that, obviously not mathematically out, could still happen that they stay in. But if they do get eliminated, will this hurt Messi's legacy?
It has to a bit, just for the simple reason that if you get knocked out in the group stage and you made the World Cup final 4 years ago, it's a pretty big drop off. Obviously, a lot has happened, but I don't think it completely hurts it. There are a lot of mitigating factors, much like if, let's say, Ronaldo and Portugal didn't win Euro. 4 years ago, they flopped. I don't think that would have hurt his legacy too much either. But just the way the tournament has gone and just how ordinary he's looked, I think people will look at that and think, international game still matters. You have to do something no matter how poor the situation is around you.
Peter Galindo, he's covering the World Cup for Sportsnet.ca, joining us here in studio. It is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Peter, the match is today, Iceland and Nigeria about to kick off at the top of the clock. And Iceland had that surprising 1-1 tie with Messi and Argentina when Messi missed the PK. Are you expecting a very tight game? Because obviously, of a nation of just over 300,000 people, this improbable story continues. Can they beat Nigeria, who to me against Croatia looked very ordinary and a little disorganized? Could the tactics of Iceland be good enough here to lock things down and get a result against the Super Eagles?
I think so, yeah. You look at the Argentina match, you look at any of their previous matches, really in qualifying or at the Euro, they've been rather organized defensively, and just in general as well. You look at just how they shut down Argentina and how they topped a group with Croatia in qualifying, Ukraine, Turkey. They will do what they do best. That is to sit back, be disciplined, organized. Nigeria, attack-wise anyways, I don't think they are lined up correctly. I think Alex Iwobi needs to be more central. And I wasn't a fan of Odion Ighalo in that game. Their striker doesn't really offer too much dynamism. If they continue with that lineup, I haven't checked the lineups yet, but I think that's what they're going with, then I think they could be in trouble against Iceland, and they might pick up another result, which would be massive for them.
I'm a little old school. I don't believe in video replay on any level for any sport because I just want it to play the game and have human mistakes. But VAR is a part of this World Cup. And you know what? I got to say, it's pleasantly surprised me that it's been quick and mostly correct. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm pro VAR, but I can understand the argument against it, certainly, because soccer is obviously a free-flowing game. Even in matches where, or in sports where it's stop-start, like say football or baseball, you don't want things to drag on like that. But it has been very good. And I think the fact that a lot of these referees, like you basically have 5-6 referees in a room, they got all the angles, they know that the pressure's on them. I think a lot of people were focused on VAR before this World Cup, obviously, for the reasons that it's new for a lot of these countries. And they've gotten the decisions right. Today against Brazil, Neymar clearly embellished that penalty.
It was awful.
Realized, okay, this is clearly not a foul, and then they overturned it. And so far, I haven't had one criticism with VAR, and that is, I think that's a win for it, certainly.
Right, and how does Neymar, and for people who didn't see it, Neymar doesn't get the penalty, and then he picks up the ball and slams it with his fist into the ground. How does he not get a yellow card for doing that? What, like, you want a VAR, but it's, like, that was obviously a cardable offense that he did, and then he gets a pass from the referee. I don't understand how they missed that decision. I have my eyes on a specific match today. I know it's not about me. Switzerland and Serbia play at 2:00. The Swiss are a team, and when you look at the FIFA rankings, Peter, I never trust the FIFA rankings because sometimes a lot of those things are bloated based on international friendlies and what you're doing on these smaller tournaments. Are Switzerland a team to be reckoned with in this tournament, being sixth in the world, or could they be susceptible to Serbia, a young team that a lot of these players helped win the under-20 World Cup for them, beating Brazil in the final 3 years ago? Is Serbia here? Are they a dangerous opponent? What are you expecting out of this match at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, and led by Serge Milinkovic-Savic.
Right, who's linked to Manchester United, by the way, and Real Madrid, potentially.
Precisely. And he looked, even though it wasn't maybe his best game, he looked very, very good in that opener against Costa Rica. Was there a little bit of sluggishness? Maybe, but that's to be expected with the first match. Switzerland, to me, I don't see enough from them attack-wise. Certainly defensively, they're going to frustrate teams, but Serbia is very much, I think, a sleeper in that coming into this, I don't think a lot of people maybe expected anything of them. Mm-hmm. You look at, as you mentioned, a lot of those centerpieces from the under 20 World Cup victory are now in that squad, and they've looked outstanding so far, and they've been outstanding for a lot of their club teams as well. I'm very much expecting them to get at least a point in this match.
Lay it on me.
And to push forward and get into the knockout stages. I had them qualifying along with Brazil into the next round. And I think depending on who they get, they can make a bit of a run here, especially if those attacking pieces can click.
Well, how dangerous, because the crossovers, the group of Serbia, Brazil, Switzerland, and Costa Rica play the crossover group of the Mexico, Sweden, and Germany group. How interesting, because potentially we could have a round of 16 match between Brazil and Germany, and that would be an absolute cracker of a match in the knockout stage. Does Germany, to you, obviously they play tomorrow, they need a result. Do they look kind of, you know, mortal here? And that was a pick, you know, winning this tournament back to back for the first time in over 50 years. Do they look mortal to you, or do you think they're gonna fix what's ailed them right now? Because they look really disorganized against Mexico.
Yeah, and they didn't seem to really want to change things up, even though the problems were obvious. In that you have Joshua Kimmich pushing forward. Clearly, Mexico was planned for that. They overloaded that side of the pitch on Germany's right, Mexico's left. And Irving Lozano just exposed the space in behind Kimmich. And for whatever reason, Joachim Löw didn't adjust. Sami Khedira is clearly far too slow for this level, especially against faster teams like Mexico. Maybe if Germany expects to control possession and not be exposed too much, he can play. But someone like Leon Goretzka, someone who's more athletic, someone who can track back and defend and also distribute from deep, I think will be ideal for them. But I wouldn't read too much into that result just because of those, a little bit of the stubbornness and just the fact that they do have the players to compensate for it. I'm sure Löw will have seen what happened against Mexico and will adjust accordingly, especially because the players themselves, mainly Mats Hummels, noticed that they were very exposed in the midfield and defensively. So I'm sure they're going
to
change it.
Peter, before I let you go, just circling back to Neymar in Brazil. I don't know why he was weeping uncontrollably on the pitch after a 2-0 win over Costa Rica in the group stage. Come on, Neymar. Why does he have to wail on the pitch after winning a group stage match?
Because
against...
it was so close.
No, come on. It's a group stage match. You don't see any of the big boys. You know, Ronaldo crying after beating, you know, Morocco 1-0. Come on, man. He can't cry, right, Peter? Come on. Are you with me on this? He can't cry.
It's a repeat of the 2014 World Cup. Remember when they knocked out Chile in the round of 16 in the shootout and all their players broke down into tears?
Yeah.
You can see that Neymar is just crippled with the pressure and the mental aspect of, I mean, I need to do something here.
Right.
And it kind of goes back to what I said at the top, a lot of pressure on Brazil to avenge that 7-1 defeat against Germany.
Yeah.
That being said, you claim to be one of the top three players in the world, and a lot of people seem to back that up. You can't break down emotionally like that on the pitch and give the opposition something to kind of use as motivation.
Right.
Because even though things went wrong for Argentina yesterday, Messi wasn't weeping or crying. Ronaldo hasn't really done the same. I kind of remember something at the 2010 World Cup after losing to Spain, but that's understandable. You were very close. It's a high stakes game.
Right.
This one, not so much.
Yeah.
So it is a bit weird. And I was kind of thinking, well, that's kind of odd to me.
Yeah, it is weird.
I'm okay with it.
You know, it's no. Peter Glendale, soccer reporter for sports.ca. Peter, great stuff. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thank you, guys.